I couldn't find my record button.
I almost fucked it up. I almost hit it at when you said three instead of 3, 2, 1. I almost ruined everything.
I could have fixed it.
I know, but it, like, we've been so good for so long.
Like, it's recording.
I mean, not to toot our own horns.
Not recording. Editing is fairly easy. All I have to do is throw in Kyle's music, which, by the way, music here.
Oddities. Stay strange.
Shout out to Kyle Head Music. Thanks for the sick intro. I listen to it sometimes just for fun.
I listen to our intro at minimum 5 times. When I'm
editing.
Just
spit that shit.
Essentially, because it's so good.
It, like, scratches something I didn't
It
know
really does scratch
scratching,
something in our brain.
You know? Yeah, it just feels good.
Not to toot our own horn or anything. Thank you, Kyle, so much for doing that.
Thanks, Chef.
Didn't know we were missing something so crucial, but you did, and you...
And he did. And the whispers. We love a good ASMR moment. It's all good.
It's amazing.
So, I'm sorry, you were saying.
What was it? Oh, editing is just... We're flawless. Toot, toot.
I mean, toot fucking toot. So, welcome back to Oddities. I'm one of your flawless hosts, Cassie.
I'm your other flawless host, Kelly. I was about to say Cassie.
Also Cassie. Surprise. And if welcome back to Strange Town.
Is any indication of how our morning is going?
First of all, information's in the description, including Kyle's information, but also all of our social media, our merch, our... help me, Patreon, and our website. Mm-hmm. And please, we have a couple of you who have written in with stories. We need just like maybe one or two more. So if you have any personal stories to share, sand them, and we'll do another listeners episode because we're getting ready. I'm excited. I love these. Shout out to the person on YouTube who said that they almost stopped listening to us because of the 10 minutes of essentially like BS convo at the beginning. First of all, welcome to the Odd Fam. I think you're new here. So welcome. Thanks for listening. And if you don't want to hear this, just so you're aware, there's usually 10 to 13 minutes at the beginning of every episode. It's a consistent thing. So feel free to skip ahead and you'll find your sweet spot there where the topics will start. So thanks again.
This is our skit.
This is it. Yeah. This is,
We are the prattling cows.
We are. Welcome. Welcome. Yes, to your two favorite prattling cows. You're probably not even listening anymore at this point, which is fine. And that's cool. But we are not going to stop doing it because so many people enjoy it. Why? I don't know, but people love it. So
they love our shit.
They love our shit. So anyway.
When did we get this comment and why didn't you tell me?
We got it earlier this week and frankly, I was just too tired. I was like, okay, and that was it. So anyway, we've seen your comment, and we hear you, but we're also not going to stop doing it because so many people enjoy it. So feel free to skip ahead. And
also,
we hope
feel
you
free
continue
to buy
listening.
Our merch, Two Prattling Cows.
two Prattling Cows, represent. How is my bestie?
I am good. Another wonderful
day
week.
In paradise. Yes.
The tall one started back up at school this week, and the teacher reminded us that we have, like, almost less than 40 days left of the school year, which is kind of...
What? Yeah, you're right.
I was like, whoa. It's just like, okay.
You're like, oh. Do you guys have, like camps or anything planned for summer?
There's a few science camps that I think the tall one will enjoy, and then there's a few like activity camps that I think the short one will enjoy. And
I love that.
Into those a little bit more. We'll see. I haven't decided yet. I don't know if they're ready yet.
Okay.
Kind of a thing. So we'll see.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll we've got summer plans regardless. You know, we always go up to Big Bear and we always do the camping and all that fun stuff. So, you know, fun stuff ahead. Today specifically, I'm going to go celebrate my birthday early with my parents.
Whoop, whoop. But by the time this comes out, your birthday is... We did birthday
way past.
Last week. Yeah.
We're going to go to the Ronald Reagan Library because they always have fascinating exhibits. And right now...
I'm excited for you.
Yeah. We're going to go to... They have a Star Wars exhibit. So I'm excited about that. And then get some yummy Mexican with a biggie margarita. So...
Or two. Get a pitcher.
Why not?
You know, more the merrier. Might as well.
So.
That sounds wonderful.
This place specifically that I love is their salsa is never made the same way. It's made fresh every day and they don't follow a recipe. So.
Oh, variety is the spice of life.
Always delicious and.
I love me some fresh ass salsa.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Chips and salsa, I could just go fucking ham on that shit. Yeah, every time.
And that immediately put the small pig voice in my head.
Go ham?
I don't know why, but immediate small pig voice.
I love that. I do call Corey hamsome instead of handsome. So.
Love that.
There's a little peek behind the curtain there. Well, that all sounds wunderbar. I love it for you. It sounds like a great day.
Mm-hmm. How's my bestie?
Your bestie's fine. I still haven't won the lottery, so.
Same. It's getting really irritating.
I will continue to try.
Same.
But, you know.
Just making the pot bigger at this point.
Yeah, we're just, you know, it's an investment, really. It's an investment into the winnings. I have date day today with Corey. And it was his turn to plan. Yes, he's done a great job. I'm very excited. So, like a town, one, two towns over from us, has this little plant nursery, and they're doing a class, and we get to make gourd chickens. Mine's going to be fucking lit. I know my chicken's going to come out great.
I'm just very excited. I want pictures.
I will send you pictures. Corey tends to get very creative with this type of thing, so his chicken's going to look...
I'm excited.
Something else. Yeah, it's going to be great. And then we're going to, he found a witchy shop with all kinds of cool witchy goods that we're going to check out. And then we're going to go get Greek food. Yes.
I love this for you guys.
It's going to be a great afternoon for sure. So super duper looking forward to it. And tomorrow we'll probably be spent doing some shit outside for our yard that needs much help. So we will
be
doing that.
All the rain you guys have been getting. Our yard needs help because of all the rain we've been getting. So
I'll tell you what, though. We couldn't have planned it better in terms of when we planted our garden because we planted our seeds and then the next day the rain started. And I haven't had to water that shit once.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, we'd love to see it. So,
you know what? For Christmas, my parents gave us a Christmas cactus and it's this gorgeous plant. It blooms gorgeously. I love it. It's like a... I'll send a picture of it to you. It has been very sad lately.
Oh, no.
And I was, like, very depressed about it. I was like, I love this plant. I don't want it to die. What am I doing wrong? Because it's very particular. No direct sunlight. Water it once a week. Like, and I've been following all these rules, but it has been very sad. And then I read once that you should water it with rice water. Like, you know, you water...
Rice water.
You know how you rinse your rice before cooking it?
Yeah.
So that water that has rinsed, use that rinsed water to water it. It was perky within less than 24 hours.
Wow.
So, like, save your rice water and water your stuff with that. Let me tell you, it works.
I never would have considered that. Interesting.
And then you're not wasting water.
That's true. You're just putting it in your plant.
Yep. It's recycled.
Very cool. Very cool. Look at us being sustainable, earth-conscious bitches.
There you go.
Love that.
Helpful
so that's
tips.
Cool. I have no helpful tips. I learned... Oh, you know what I have to tell you about, though?
Hmm.
Did I already tell you about this? There's a show on Netflix. It's called Resident Alien. We started watching it, and it's fucking hilarious.
Okay. Well, then, Michael...
Absolutely hilarious.
Look at that.
Highly recommend to any of our listeners, too. That's been giving us a... It's been a hoot. A hoot and a half.
It's been funny, because... You said Resident, and I was like, I'm watching it. And then they're like, the Alien, resident. And I was like, not watching it.
Plot twist. Yeah, no, it's and it's literally, so it's about, well, I'm not going to tell you guys what it's about. Fuck y'all. You'll just have to wait and see. Just watch it. Just watch it. Not sponsored, but it's a great show, in case anybody's wondering. I'm also making my way through my fairy smut I've been reading. And that's really all I got.
Literally, okay, favorite text of Cassie this week. I have multiple. First off, TikToks that I sent Cassie this week involved one guy just going insane, realizing all women read smut. Mm-hmm. And they read it everywhere. And we Cassie do. Responded with, and we read it with a straight face.
We do. At least I do. Totally dead on the outside. Well, yep.
We're all nothing. Dead on the outside reading it. You don't know what we're reading.
Nobody Enjoy. Knows. Mysterious like that, you know?
And half the time, I'm on my Kindle, and I've got the Kindle app on my phone. So
nobody knows.
Nobody knows. You don't know what I'm reading. Enjoy.
Yep. Love that. And
I think the best part about that video was the guy started looking up these books when he was, like, on the subway. He was, like, noticing women reading, so he started looking up the books that they were reading and was just freaking out over all the smut that was around him.
It was the waterfall of emotion for me.
Yeah.
It just got me. I thought it was hilarious. That was a good one.
Specifically, the roomie, he goes, I'm next to you, just eating off-brand Chex Mix or whatever.
I know.
My second favorite text of you from this week was yesterday. We just had an earthquake.
Yes, I forgot to speak on that. We had a casual earthquake here on the East Coast. It was not huge, but it was there. It was
just the casualness of her. And it was me going, what the fuck? That doesn't happen.
I know. I just, like, and you know what? This will just tell you a lot about my fight or flight. It happened. I just continued to, like, sit here and go on with my day. So there was no fight. I just accepted it. I was like, well, I'm on a call, and if something goes wrong, then I'm just going to die, and, you know, so be it.
It's rather funny, because, like, a lot of the time I go, are we having an earthquake? And I often, like, look at our fan and wait to see if something's moving.
That's how I knew, because my computer monitor started jiggling, and I was like, first I went through my list of rational reasons. I was like, are the dogs fucking around and is shaking? And then I didn't hear anything, and I was like, no. Is there a plane flying overhead close by? No sound. No. And I was like, must be an earthquake. And I was on a call, and I literally said, quote, wow, I think we're having an earthquake. Anyway. And then I just carried on with what we were talking
about. Did anybody react to your, wow, I think we're having an earthquake?
They just laughed, because I just, like, carried on. You
were so nonchalant about it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, I think we're having an earthquake. Anyway. And then I just moved on. I was presenting something, so I don't know if they were really paying attention anyway. To begin with.
So, that's like, woke them up.
Yeah. Anyway, here's what the game plan is for the rest of the quarter. So anyway, that was something this week.
God, I love that.
Yeah, it was a colorful week. Now that we've hit our 13 minutes so we can continue to piss various people off.
Yes.
Should we get to the good shit?
Yes, we should. Because I think you're really going to love my shit.
Can we start with your shit then? Because I'm like, I really want to hear it. Or are you going to make me wait?
No, I can start with my shit. You'd like me to?
Yay, yes.
So this topic is brought to us by Cousin Nathan. Thank you, Cousin Nathan.
Thank you, Cousin Nathan.
I'm not going to lie. He suggested this to me and I was immediately fascinated, so much so that it immediately had to be covered.
It couldn't wait. God, well.
And then, for obvious reasons, I already told you the topic name.
True.
Today I'm covering the Radium Girls.
Which I love. I'm so excited to hear about these bitches.
So, the Radium Girls. Who are the Radium Girls? At the onset of World War I, several factories were established across the United States to produce watches and military dials that were painted with none other than radium.
Oops! Oops! It's a learning curve, kids.
It was painted with a material called radium, a radioactive element that glowed in the dark.
I was going to say, because so it could glow, yep.
Yeah. Hundreds of young women were hired for this well-paying painting job because of their small hands and delicate work. Men couldn't do it, obviously.
Well, you know, the finer species. What can I say? Yep.
And
we just got it stuck up our ass once again.
They really got screwed. That's.
I mean, are we surprised?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. All right.
Radium had been discovered just 20 years earlier by French physicist Marie Curie and
my girl
Marie Curie, and its properties were not well known yet. Right?
Oops.
Because it had just been used successfully in the treatment of cancer. So it was believed that it was a miracle drug or a miracle Oops. Thing and actually safe.
You know what? Like I said, we're all just out here learning as we go.
It was genuinely believed to be a miracle element, actually. And it was manufactured in products such as makeup and toothpaste and other cosmetics.
Jesus Christ. I'm not surprised, but you know what? It really is a miracle element. It's really interesting in its own way. Just not what they thought.
Yeah. The women hired to paint the dials came to be known as ghost girls because the radium dust to which they were exposed to daily made their clothes and hair and skin literally glow.
Okay, first of all, that's so badass. I mean, at least that's like a cool aspect for them. It's, you know, all the terrible fallout that occurs, but afterwards. But regardless, love that.
Many of the women actually wore their best dresses to the job so the fabric would shine brilliantly. So when they went dancing after work, they looked their best.
We love a strategy. Love a strategy. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Why not? Might as well.
Some even applied the paint to their teeth because it gave them radiant smiles.
I understand. Like, I get why they would.
That there was no...
Yeah.
...repercussions with this, that it was completely safe to be around.
I feel terrible.
Yeah.
But I get why they were doing what they were doing. They're like, yeah...
The painters even ingested, obviously because they were using it in their teeth, but they even ingested the substance as a part of their job because the watch dials that they worked on were extremely small and they were told to use their lips to make the paintbrushes a fine point. When they asked about the radium safety, they were assured that by their managers, they had absolutely nothing to worry about. They were told multiple times that they had nothing to worry about.
Honestly, did the managers even know, though?
That...
You know?
Yeah, I don't know if they knew in the beginning, but it seems like they knew at the end.
Oops. Okay, there we go. So, I tried to give them a bone there. I was like...
I was trying to give them a bone in the beginning, but you'll see towards the end.
Okay.
All right. Of course, that wasn't true. Radium can be extremely dangerous, especially with repeated exposure. Marie Curie suffered radiation burns while handling it, and she eventually died from radiation exposure. Other researchers also perished because of the drug, or not the drug, the element. It wasn't long before the radium girls began to experience physical issues of the exposure. Among the first was Amelia Molly Maggia, who painted watches for the Radium Lumius Materials Corp., later to be known as the United States Radium Corp., in Orange, New Jersey.
Ah, there we are. The dirty jurors.
Molly's first symptom was a toothache, which required the removal of the tooth. Soon the tooth next to it also had to be extracted. Painful ulcers and bleeding and full pus developed where the teeth had been. Mysterious Maldi spread throughout her mouth and the lower jaw, which had to be completely removed.
Oh my God, poor Molly. Yep. Okay.
Then to other parts of her body. Molly died on September 12th, 1922, of a massive hemorrhage. Doctors were puzzled and the cause of her condition, and oddly, they determined that she died of syphilis. Yeah.
I'm just gonna... All right. Anyway.
In growing numbers, the other Radium Girls became deathly ill, experiencing many of the same agonizing symptoms as Molly. For 2 years, their employer aggressively denied any connection between the girls' deaths and their work, facing a downturn in business because of the growing controversy. The company finally commissioned an independent study of matter, which concluded that the painters had died from the effects of radium exposure.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. Refusing to accept the report's findings, the company commissioned additional studies that came to the opposite conclusion, and the girls who had taken ill, the public continued to assume that radium was safe.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And, which, that just makes me believe that they paid other investigators off to say, nope, that report was wrong. It is actually safe. They would have had to. Like, right? They paid somebody off completely.
Yeah.
In 1925, a pathologist named Harrison Martland developed a test that proved conclusively that radium had poisoned the watch painters by destroying their bodies from the inside. The radium industry tried to discredit Martland's findings, but the Radium Girls themselves fought back.
Yes.
Many knew that their days were numbered, but they wanted to do something to help their colleagues still working at the deadly, working with the deadly substance. In 1927, attorney Raymond Berry agreed to accept their case. Many of the watch painters had just months to live and were forced to accept an out-of-court settlement. Still, their experiences made the issue of radium safety a front-page story across the world, but even then, the United States Radium Corp denied its role, and women continued to get sick and die. It wasn't until 1938 when a dying radium worker named Catherine Wolfe Donahue successfully sued the Radium Dial Corp over her illness that was the issue, and she was finally given a settle. The Radium Girls, this was so interesting. The Radium Girls saga holds an important place in history of both the field of health physics and labor rights movement. The right of individual workers to sue the damages from corporations due to labor abuse was established as a result of the Radium Girls case. In the wake of the case, industrial safety standards were demonstrably enhanced for many decades. The Radium Girls case was settled in the autumn of 1928 before the trial was deliberated by jury, and the settlement for each Radium Girl was $10,000, equivalent to $177,000 now, and $600 per year, equivalent to $10,600 now, paid $12 a week, equivalent to $200 now, and for all of their lives while they lived, and medical and legal expenses incurred were also paid by the company.
There, we like to see that.
Mm-hmm. The lawsuit and resulting publicity was a factor in establishment of the occupational disease labor law. The radium dial painters were instructed to proper and safety precautions provided by protective gear in particular, and no longer shaping the brushes with their mouths.
I would hope not.
And adjusting or breathing the paint. Radium paint was still used and dials as late as the 1970s, actually.
Holy shit, really?
Yep.
That is shocking to me. I mean, well, yeah.
I think it's amazing that because of the Radium Girls, there was actually such a historical impact.
Yes, we love to see it.
They were such a part of a huge reason for labor rights, and we have them to thank for that.
Yes, you know, this ties in well with the shirt factory that we just covered.
It really does. I kind of wish I had known about it sooner, because if
we could have done really a whole... good
at... Yeah.
That's okay. I love this. This was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate that it happened, but good topic.
I really love these girls, I'm not going to lie.
Yes. Queens.
No. Yeah. I hate that happened to them. to them.
Yeah, terrible suffering.
But this was really phenomenal, and I'm very... thank you, Cousin Nathan, for bringing it
thank
to
you,
my
Cousin
attention.
Nathan.
This was so much fun to read about and learn about, and I'm so fascinated.
I want to know how some of our listeners, you know, Cousin Nathan... But, like, we've had so many write in with different topics.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you guys find this stuff? Like, where do you come across this shit?
Yeah.
Just curious.
Tell us.
Also, why aren't these... Once again, why aren't these women in the fucking history books? I'm annoyed.
And they need to be in the history book. They were a big part of history.
They were. They had a big... This, something big came out of all this.
Yes, they weren't. They weren't just nothing.
I'm tired.
Yes. I'm very tired. Again, women are getting shafted yet again. So,
this is our educational system. Come on.
Yep.
Come on, bros. Anyway.
This is another
excellent
benefit to homeschooling. I just want to throw that out there. My kids are going to know about the Radium Girls.
Got to teach them about the Radium Girls. All right.
So,
I've got absolutely nothing related to this.
Okay.
All right. Today's topic is brought to us by, once again, Honorary Cousin Michael. Thank you, Honorary Cousin Michael.
Thank you, Honorary Cousin Michael.
We appreciate you. I'm covering Indrid Cold.
Oh.
Chilly, chilly. So things always seem mysterious on chilly fall nights in the countryside. For... this guy's name is really something else. His name is... Woodrow Derenberger. So for Woodrow Derenberger, his mysterious encounter with an almost human grinning man on the back roads of West Virginia one November night would affect him and his family for almost a quarter of a century. Just need to point out, we're in Appalachia again.
There we are.
So just going to leave that there. So in 1966... Woodrow Derenberger was a sewing machine salesman living in Mineral Wells, West Virginia. Of course, that is such a West Virginia town name. Mineral Wells. That's the most West Virginia shit. Anyway, one November night that year, Derenberger said he was returning from a business trip to Marietta, Ohio, when he had to stop to adjust, like, I guess he was carrying a sewing machine in the back of his truck. So he had to stop and he had to adjust it. Once he got back on the road, he noticed lights ahead of him. And he was like, oh my God, these lights are police officers. Direct quote. Not really.
Love that.
So he stops.
She was there, she knows.
I was there, I was with him. So he stops, right? And then he's like, holy shit, those lights don't in fact belong to a car, but they belong to what he said was an aircraft that looked like, quote, a kerosene lamp chimney.
What?
I know. Derenberger said then that a man stepped out and approached his truck. The way I wouldn't roll down my windows, or if I'd probably run that guy over. I gotta be honest.
I would have driven off.
I would have been like, bye. Like, and if there was collateral damage, I mean, it happened. So anyway, per Woodrow, quote, he looked perfectly natural and normal as any human being. He shared this with a reporter, Ronald Maines, during an interview on WTAP TV in Parkersburg, West Virginia, the day after the encounter. He said, quote, his face looked like he had a good tan, a deep sun tan. He was not too dark, but it was just like he had been out in the sun a lot and had a good tan. His hair was combed straight back, and it was a dark brown, and he seemed to have a good thick head of hair. His eyebrows, his face, his features were very normal. I don't believe that he looked any different from any other man that you would meet on the street, quote. But he wasn't normal, according to Woodrow. Instead...
Nothing about this sounds normal.
First of all, the entire encounter itself was not normal, yes. Then he said he had a large grin and kept his arms folded with his hands up under his armpits. And though he spoke to Derenberger, his smile never moved. He spoke... according to Woodrow Derenberger, telepathically.
No thanks.
Pass. Quote, he asked me to roll down the window on my right-hand side of my truck, and I done what he asked.
No.
Derenberger said during the interview. Hard pass. Absolutely
this
not.
This is how people die.
What's unclear to me, though, is, like, did Derenberger have, like, full control of himself at that point, or was the guy just, like, making him, I don't know. But anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, quote, "And this man stood there, and he first asked me what I was called, and I know he meant my name, and I told him my name, and he asked me, he said, 'Why are you frightened?' He said, 'Don't be frightened. We wish you no harm. We mean you no harm. We wish you only happiness.' And I told him my name, and when I told him my name, he said he was called Cold." It was essentially Derenberger's and then the world's introduction to the entity that became known as Indrid Cold. So naturally, Derenberger's, yeah, I, you know, and I don't even know how that whole ordeal wrapped up, because all of a sudden, like, my research was like, okay, he's, now he's talking to the police. So Derenberger reports his encounter to the Parkersburg police. He's like, "That shit wasn't normal. Y'all need to address this." So by the next day, a media frenzy surrounds the story and it takes off. And so Derenberger agrees to be interviewed on live television on WTAP, like I shared. And taking part in the interview were members of the state police, representatives of the Wood County Airport, the Parkersburg police, and a representative from the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. And for 30 minutes, the men all peppered Derenberger with questions about this, like, encounter or whatever. So after the interview airs, right, all of a sudden other people start coming forward with claims that they'd also seen this tan-ass dude with thick-ass nice hair matching what's-his-face's description of Indrid Cold. And so one man reports that a man matching Indrid Cold's description tried to flag him down, but he was, like, too afraid to stop, which, like, snaps for that guy. He was like, "The fuck I'm pulling over? Fuck you." Anyway, other people claim to see lights and, quote, "fluttering vehicles on the road." The same road, in fact, that Derenberger said he had talked to Cold on. And several other witnesses reported that they had seen Derenberger stopped on the road talking to a man. Again, on the same road that Derenberger reported that this happened. So for the next 3 weeks, newspapers in the area run stories about these claims and the claims of others. Derenberger's claims and the claims of others. News coverage eventually dies down. But apparently Cold's visitations continue, because Derenberger reported that he was visited often by this strange dude with the weird fucking smile over the course of the next month. And eventually his family said that they too had seen Cold and other, like, strange things. So naturally, the media attention given to the story brings locals to Derenberger's house, because they want to get a, like, they want to see this dude. And the attention, as well as the scorn, but also ridicule that he was suffering from, led Woodrow to seek medical attention. His physician gave him a clean bill of health and found no evidence of, like, a chemical imbalance or, like, some kind of disruption going on, any mental health issues, whatever. So Woodrow eventually writes a book about his visits, but nothing good comes from him recounting his encounter. And in fact, it didn't just negatively affect him, but it ended up affecting his family and his friends as well. His family starts receiving years of harassing phone calls. People are blaming their lost jobs and friends on his tales of Indrid Cold. Tell me how it has anything to do with any of that. I don't know. People are bullies.
It does.
Literally, what is the connection?
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, Derenberger starts to suffer from painful headaches and some depression, and eventually his wife divorces him, and he moves away from the area to try and escape this notoriety that's built up, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, after years of living somewhere else, Derenberger moves back to Mineral Wells before his death in 1990. He dies at the age of 74. This is 23 years after Indrid Cold supposedly, like, pulled him over on the side of the highway. And while he never recanted his statement, he never spoke of them again either. Since then, his account has lingered, and it's propelled Indrid Cold into this, like, category and realm, whatever, of rural myths and legends, as well as into tales of, like, the creepy and unknown. And he's kind of just become sort of this, like, not cryptid figure, but like a legend, like a local legend, like whatever.
Yeah.
Derenberger spoke to John Keel, an author of The Mothman Prophecies, and the legend of Indrid Cold was linked to Mothman, even so far as appearing in the 2002 Mothman Prophecies movies.
Are they, it's saying, difficult, he's to Mothman? Tell.
God, I hope so. But I also don't want that for Mothman. Like, I don't want Mothman to look like this freak with his weird smile. Anyway, it's difficult to tell if it really happened. But it's clear that Derenberger gained absolutely nothing from coming forward, you know? An author of Skeptoid magazine.
Oh my gosh.
Says, quote, "Who knows what actually happened to Derenberger on that strange night? Derenberger's story did little for him. His obsession with it cost him his job and his wife. And according to Keel, who visited him a year later, they found him, quote, hiding behind drawn curtains from what he believed were, quote, hundreds of UFO believers and skeptics, saying that Indrid Cold and his friends frequently visited the farm, often arriving by automobile for long friendly chats. According to this Skeptoid author, he felt that Derenberger had become delusional." I think we can say that cold, lonely nights on isolated rural roads will always be, like, a good setting for weird encounters with shit.
Yeah. I mean,
rural areas are always the best place for, like, a creepy tale. It's dark. You've got trees and creeks and murky, like, just murkiness and fog. And, you know, you're far from the comforting protection of lights and people. It makes for it. I almost want to believe him simply because he gained absolutely nothing from all of this.
Yeah, that's what
And those are the times that I believe that, like, some of this shit is real.
And he, like, lost everything.
Everything!
He lost everything and still stuck with his story.
He did try to write a book about it, but I don't know that he did that to be... like, hey, give me money, because he was already having problems. I don't know if he did it to try to process, if he did it to try to...
Yeah, I don't...
make peace with it? I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He really, but still, would gain nothing from it. Because when you write a book, there's no guarantee it's going to be successful, right?
Nope. And it's not like some major, like, publishing house came to him and they're like, we want to cut you a deal.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, you know? So... I kind of believe it. If this shit was going to go down, of course it was going to happen in West Virginia. Do I think that Indrid Cold is linked to the Mothman? I really hope not. Though it is weird that they're both, like, chilling out in West Virginia. But
yeah.
I don't know. But that's what I've got about Indrid Cold. Thank you, Honorary Cousin Michael. This was a fun one.
Very, yeah, that's fun and very interesting. I'm teetering on believing.
I'm teetering on believing, and I gotta be honest with you, this doesn't scream Mothman to me. It screams, like, aliens. Like, this sounds like some alien shit
to me. It sounds like some alien shit. You're not wrong.
Extraterrestrial shit.
I'm not, aside from the Mothman, whatever, I don't think Mothman here.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, as much as I want it to be our Lord and Savior, the Mothman, because I love the Mothman, yeah. I don't want this for the Mothman. But, like, the other thing, too, is, like, the encounter was unsettling, but there wasn't any harm. Like, they didn't...
No.
He just was like, we want you to be happy, with his weird smile on his hands and his armpits. I don't know. I don't know. I guess my question is like, what is Indrid Cold's, like, motive?
There is none.
Right?
There is no motive. Because, he's again, just like, hey, he lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't gain anything and stayed with the story the whole time. Didn't change.
I wish more people had come forward about it to have it documented with the police or something prior to him doing that, like, television interview.
Yeah.
You know, because that just made me feel like, okay, all those people were just like, now I want a slice of the attention. And they just, like, came up and they're like, hey, I saw this fucking grinning asshole too.
Yeah.
But then the other thing that I have to ask myself is, okay, you know, now you've got Woodrow, well, he's dead now, but, you know, later on in life, living in this house with his curtains drawn and barricading himself in, and, like, yeah. I can't help but wonder, did Woodrow have some other issues going on?
Is there some schizo? Is there some hallucinations?
Yeah, like, what do we maybe have going on? They do. Yeah. Although, he had a clean bill of health from his doctor at the one point. But how often was he being monitored, you know?
That does raise a lot of questions.
It does. So it's hard to say, but like I said, so, okay, I guess where I sit on this is, I believe that Woodrow genuinely believed that this happened. I don't think this was a creation that he was doing for any kind of gain. Whether or not there's actually an Indrid Cold figure, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I believe that Woodrow believed it.
Yeah.
For no, genuinely no, like, ulterior motive. Just simply that he felt truly this happened. Now, the thing that blew my mind a little bit was the people who recounted that they drove past and saw him talking to this guy on the side of the road, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, so if you saw him talking to somebody,
yeah. You know, but then also I'm like, okay, are they also just saying that so they can be recounted as a witness and get some attention too? So it's just kind of it's a circular, I guess, conversation. And I think that's the case with a lot of these stories.
Yeah.
You know, chicken or the egg, whatever. But yeah. So, I mean, I guess I believe that Woodrow believed it. If I want to stray into the territory of did this happen or not, like, I kind of believe maybe it did. Possibly. Like, this isn't one where I read it and immediately I was like, no, didn't happen, you know?
It's definitely in the possible.
I think so. So yeah. That's Indrid Cold. It was a cool one to research. I feel sad for Woodrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it was an interesting one. I don't think there's any linkage to our boy, the Mothman.
No.
The Mothman works alone. And Indrid Cold and the Mothman are not one and the same, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Great. So that's what we've got for you. This was a fun episode.
It was. Got a little history and a little mystery.
Oh, I love that. Yes, look at you. Ooh, a little history, a little mystery, a little mystery, a little history. Fun. Well, friends, let us know what you think about the two topics. As always, we love hearing from you. Again, if you have any more stories you'd like to share with us, please write
in.
Please
email us.
Oddities.talk@gmail.com, because we would love to do another listener's episode, and we are so close.
Yeah, or so, you can even use our little forum on our website.
On our website, that works too. And you can message us on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Yep. And until next time,
stay strange.